Oh, I can't wait for this. This is going to be a big-time card. And I've got the man himself, the president of the UFC, the man who built this into what it is today, the one and only Dana White right here with Stephen A. What's going on, Big Tom? How are you, sir? How's everything?
Good morning, my friend. I'm awesome. How are you?
I'm doing great, man. It's great to see you. You know, you became the president in 2001. It's 23 years later now, and we're looking at UFC 300. How would you describe the journey to reach UFC 300? Put it into your own words.
Yeah, I mean, it's been amazing. Obviously, taking this thing from a sport that wasn't allowed on pay-per-view and making it mainstream, not just in the United States, but globally, all over the world, it's been fun. And you know, when we hit UFC 100, the fans sort of rallied around it, made a big thing. So then 200, and then now here's 300. So how do you beat 100 and 200? You put on the greatest combat sports card ever assembled.
And that's, you've been talking about the UFC 300 in that fashion. You've been raving about this card. I want you to get into how did you go about building the card for this historic event. Talk about that for a second.
Well, you know, when you look at it, we had 12 current and former champions. Seven fighters are ranked in the pound for pound, 16 in the top 15. So basically this card from the first fight of the night, the very first prelim to the main event, are all big time fights and all important. And when you think about it, it's the greatest card ever assembled in combat sports history, not just the UFC, not just MMA, ever.
Why would you say that? I mean, listen, I think one of the greatest events I've ever been to in my life, in my 30 years of coaching, of working in this business, I don't know if I've ever been to a bigger event than Conor McGregor versus Nurmagomedov. I know you've got Pereira versus Hill. Obviously, it's a big-time main event. But when you talk about it in that fashion, what do you think makes this comparable to any event that we've seen in UFC history?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, when you think about any fight that we've ever done or that boxing does, there's always big main events, big co-main events with stars. But when you talk about a card from top to bottom, the very first fight of the night until the main event, I mean, the first fight of the night on ESPN is Figueiredo versus Garbrandt. They're both former world champions. Figueiredo has broke a ton of records, most knockdowns in UFC flyweight history, most submission attempts, and Garbrandt tied most knockdowns in bantamweight history. And the list goes on and on of all these records these guys have broken. That's the very first fight of the night. That could main event on a card. So basically the first fight of the night could main event, and that's how every single fight throughout the rest of the night is.
When we think about the UFC, one of the things that I love about the UFC, Dana, watching it, I got such profound respect for all of these fighters. Just walking into the octagon, you got to have a level of bravery that most people simply don't have. But what I love about what you've done with the sport, which a sport like boxing hasn't done, is that somebody gets one loss, one blemish on their record, that's a reason to veer away from them, to not look at them in the same fashion. That's not what happens in the UFC. You could have a loss, you could have a couple of losses, and your appeal still doesn't necessarily diminish. Why do you think that is the case with the UFC, and how have you assisted in pulling that off for the audience?
Well, you're absolutely right. I mean, in boxing, the way that it worked is you would pad these records and get these guys to a certain number where they're undefeated with so many knockouts, or there was somebody that was great enough to do it. Like a Floyd basically, right. What
Pacquiao,
I learned.
And others. Yep.
Yeah. There was a guy named Arturo Gatti, okay?
Yes.
And he had several losses, yet kept signing massive deals with HBO, because what people really want, people want the warriors, the guys who go out and leave it all out there, fight the best, fight the fights that people want to see. When you go out and you do that, like in the UFC, there's no padding of records. You come right in and you start fighting the best of the best. And if you make it into the top 10 and into the top 5 or a world champion, you have run through the gauntlet of the nastiest dudes in the world in your weight class. And at the end of the day, what people want to see are great fights. You don't have to be, if you become very special and unique in this sport, like a John Jones, and become undefeated, then it's just that much more, you know, amazing when it happens. And like you said, Habib.
Yeah. Pereira versus Hill. That's the main event. And I want you to talk about Pereira for a second, because his nickname is the Hands of Stone. Back in the day with people that were watching boxing before they were watching UFC, when we heard of Hands of Stone, we thought about Roberto Duran. When you look at this guy right here, he's a knockout artist. He's definitely an elite striker. Talk about him and what he means to the sport at this particular moment in time, because he's definitely somebody I consider to be box office.
I agree. And when you think about Brazil, Brazil is where it all started. And we're always, you know, there's always been these huge stars that have come out of Brazil. He is the new big star for Brazil. I mean, he's obviously big everywhere, but, you know, he's one of the greatest kickboxers ever. He's the first and only fighter to win the middleweight and light heavyweight titles. Did it in the shortest and fewest fights to win two titles in two different divisions. He did it in 2 years and seven fights. And when you think about a guy like this, Alex knocks people out who have never been knocked out before. The guy is an absolute stud.
I'm looking at Justin Gaethje versus Max Holloway. I'm interested in that. There's no question about it. You got Kayla Harrison making her UFC debut against the always tough Holly Holmes. What should fans expect from those matchups?
Yeah, I mean, Holly Holm is an absolute legend, not just in mixed martial arts, but in combat sports, period. Kickboxing, boxing, you know, one of the most decorated female fighters of all time, if not the most decorated, going in against Kayla Harrison, who's a two-time Olympic gold medalist in judo and has finished like 12 out of her 16 opponents. So it's a big test for Kayla, and obviously a huge fight for Holly at this point in her career. If she could beat Kayla Harrison, and it just... cements an absolutely already incredible career that she's had.
You've got
and Max Holloway, always a big fan favorite, probably the greatest featherweight of all time, going up against Gaethje, who was a human highlight reel.
You've got champions, and the last question to you, you've got champions of so many different weight divisions, obviously, but then you've come up with a BMF title. I mean, the UFC could pull off stuff like that. I mean, where did that idea come from? And I can't think of a person that personifies it better than Justin Gaethje. I want you to talk about that for a second and what that has meant to uplifting the sport that is the UFC.
No, I agree. That actually, the idea of the BMF was built right here in this room. And, you know, we're in here one day. There's always these fights that the fans love, like whether it's a Masvidal versus Diaz or, you know, those type of fights, Gaethje and Max Holloway. And we were sitting in here one day and we thought about building this BMF title. And just like you said, I mean, who's better fit for this thing than Justin Gaethje and Max Holloway? We thought about it in here. I told the guys, tell me if you think I'm crazy, but what do you think of this idea? They loved it. The fans love it. And here we go.
Well, listen, it's not much not to love, to be quite honest with you. Listen, here's the thing that I want to see on national television right here on First Take, because I have the platform to do it, damn it. You know, years and years and years, I've loved boxing. I've grown to love the UFC more and more. Don't know it like Onik and Rogan and Cormier and those guys, okay? I defer to the experts, but I love watching the UFC, and you're the number one reason why, for one reason above all else, you give us the fights we want to see when we want to see it, and we don't have to wait years for it. The one and only Dana White, appreciate you, my brother. UFC 300 coming up, the greatest event in the sports history. We're looking forward to it. Appreciate you big time. Thank you so much.
Thank you, my friend. Have a great day.
All right, you do the same. The one and only Dana White right here on First Take.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
I want to personally thank Caitlin Clark for lifting up our sport. She carried a heavy load for our sport. And it just is not going to stop here on the collegiate tour. But when she is the number one pick in the WNBA draft, she's gonna lift that league up as well. So Caitlin Clark, if you're out there, you are one of the GOATs of our games. And we appreciate you.
The WNBA draft is Monday, April 15th on ESPN. It'll be headlined by the likes of Caitlin Clark, who's expected to be the number one overall pick. Also joining Clark is this year's draft are stars like Stanford's Cameron Brink, South Carolina's Camille Cardoso, and LSU's Angel Reese. We are now joined by the person who will be announcing the picks Monday in Brooklyn. That would be WNBA Commissioner Kathy Engelbert. Kathy, good morning. Thank you so much for being
with
us.
Good morning. Great to be here.
What an exciting time in women's basketball. Women's college basketball has reached a new level of popularity with the women's national championship game outdrawing the men's game by 4 million viewers. Let's just give that a moment.
Yes.
Kathy, how do you see that engagement carrying over to the W?
Yeah, absolutely. We're seeing this confluence of a ton of positive things on both the basketball and the business side of women's basketball. So obviously, you know, generational talent with big followings because of social media, increased media coverage, thanks to you all and ESPN and Disney. Our asset values are going up. We raised some capital a couple of years ago, and those we can expand the league. We've announced one expansion team and more to come. So we're really excited to carry this momentum into the WNBA's 28th season.
We all know, Kathy, that Caitlin Clark in all likelihood is going to be the number one overall pick in the WNBA draft by the Indiana Fever. What role specifically do you see her playing in growing the WNBA in terms of how you see that happening?
Yeah, I think using the platform she has that she's gained with all these followers nationally, but also globally now, she'll be able to have a big global platform with the coming into the professional. And I just think her style of play resonates with the big basketball fan, the big game fan. Because in sports, as you know, Stephen A., you need household names, rivalries, and games of consequence. And obviously, March Madness had all of that. And we're hoping certainly replicate it. Now, we have a 40-game season, so not every game you might call a game of consequence. But we're really excited for what Caitlin and this really strong rookie class with Cameron Brink and Camilla Cardoso and so many others coming in. I've had fun the last couple of days calling them to invite them to Brooklyn for our draft next Monday night. So it's kind of a fun time of year for us.
Well, we've seen it before, Kathy. I know it was two players, but you had Bird and Magic in 1979. Bird goes to Boston, Magic goes to L.A., highest-rated college basketball game of all time. NBA was really struggling, and all of a sudden, those two lifted the league. You could see, and obviously, the South Carolina, the center, she's the, very
Cardoso.
Could see the same Cardoso sort of thing developing here for the WNBA. She is that dynamic as a player, and Bird and Magic, same thing, say 50 years ago. How about that? Let me hear.
Absolutely. I mean, Bird Magic, I'm a big studier of history, a big rivalry coming out of college that then led to the rise of the NBA, media rights, Michael Jordan, and that big marketing machine called Nike, who's a great partner of ours as well. So I think all of that, you know, we can replicate. This is our moment, 28 years in. I think they were 40 years in, so we're excited. And I think it's a great analogy. I think, and today, because of the way these players are coming in with these followings, because of social media and NIL even, because our players have big national brands and they're coming in with them already. So it's actually really helpful.
It's undeniable what these young ladies are doing and how wonderful they have been. It's undeniable how marketable a lot of them are. You're seeing them in commercials now and things of that nature. But I want to transition directly to the WNBA and talking about Becky Hammons and Asia Wilson, the two-time reigning defending WNBA champion Las Vegas Aces. Talk about what they've done to uplift the sport, because I'm one of those people who believe, just so you know, Kathy, I've been on the record saying this, if men can coach in women's sports, women should be coaching in men's sports. And I think that Becky Hammons one day will be the first woman to coach an NBA team. I think that's how great she is. But obviously, we don't want her to leave the WNBA right now. Talk about what they've meant to the upliftment of the sport itself.
Yeah, huge power like Asia and Candace Parker's on the Aces, and obviously Chelsea Gray and Kelsey Plum and Jackie Young, who was the number one pick a few years ago. So huge talent, and then playing the other super team last year in the WNBA finals, the New York Liberty. And now this year, Seattle's made some moves. Phoenix has made some moves to strengthen their rosters. Obviously, Indiana, Atlanta, Dallas. So parity in the sport is good. It's great. The Aces won back to back. And this year, they'll be going for their third, a three-peat, which hasn't been done since the Houston Comets won the first four when the WNBA first started 28 years ago. So, but it's a great story, Becky, and coming into the league from an assistant at the San Antonio Spurs, like you said, Stephen A, back into the NBA, but now the WNBA, where she played her professional ball. It's a great story. And I think the investments that our owners are making in brand and lifting them from a marketing perspective is helping as well.
I'd like you to tell our audience, rewind the clock 3 years ago and think about what you would talk and say to players about what it takes to help uplift the sport. What you said then compared to what you would say now.
Yeah, again, we were in a very different place 3 years ago. I think the quality of the game was there, but the marketing wasn't there. The dollars and everything that it takes to get a national exposure. And I think our broadcast partners like ESPN have stepped up in a huge way. Our marketing partners, our corporate partners, we've done great from a revenue perspective there. So I would have said 3 years ago, maybe we weren't ready for this moment, but that's why we raised that capital. We came off the pandemic year, which was tough for us because that was a pretty existential time for this league to either survive or go away. And we survived and now we're thriving. And so 3 years ago, I would have said something very different about where we were today. I can talk to the players about how we've moved from survive to thrive. And wasn't sure we were going to make it back in that pandemic year, but I'm so glad we had a competitive season that year, because to be out of the sports landscape for 20 months would not have been good if we didn't have a season. And I think the players had a ton of courage back then to come play. And now, and that was coming off our collective bargaining agreement in early 2020. So now I think we're in a much better place. The players know it. And now they come in with these big brands and a lot of excitement.
Boy, Kathy's sharp as heck here. I will look at this from a fan standpoint. I think it's nothing you can do about it. I think sometimes the timing of the WNBA is tricky as far as the season goes, because we just go through the college, we go through the NBA playoffs, and then we have the WNBA in the summertime, and then you got to compete your championship against the start of the NFL. I mean, we all see the leagues. That's tricky. So this with Caitlin Clark, this high draft, maybe that sustains some momentum to get people, the casual fan, to pay attention in a part of the year where they're not necessarily thinking about basketball. How about that for a sec? Let me hear.
Yeah, I get asked that a lot. And I thought that when I came into the league, that maybe it was a disadvantage playing in the summer. But if we get great media coverage, great broadcast windows, even when we go up against the NFL, like we did in our finals last year, you know, we had great viewership because people are home watching sports. And so you turn on ABC and there's the WNBA finals while, you know, maybe it's halftime of the football game. So, but the more people we bring into our sport, like has happened in March Madness, and the more we have to do a better job bringing that NCAA viewer into the WNBA. So no matter, sports always competes against one another for viewership. So we feel confident that we can bring in those viewers, and whether there's other sports on, we always compete with other sports, no matter what time of year you're playing. And this year we have the added benefit, but sometimes detriment, of the Olympics, where we'll break for a few weeks during the Olympics. So our USA women's national team can go win their eighth consecutive gold medal, but we'll get a bump off of that too, coming off of hopefully a great successful Olympics for the US. So a lot of things there to unpack, I know, but you know, definitely some challenges with that being a summer sport, but also I think we also benefit from people watching sports and tuning into the W. And once they tune in or come to a game, they're hooked.
Molly, Doggy, I was at courtside for the Liberty Aces championship. I was there. I had a blast, okay? It's got one thing on my bucket list, Kathy, just one thing. I got to go see my girl Diana Taurasi. I got to go see her. In the summertime, as hot as it is in Phoenix, I got to get there to see her. That's all I got.
That's great. Well, Diana's been such a great player in this league for such a long time. I mean, when she got drafted, 20 years ago, that brought in huge viewership. And obviously we have a lot more. Hopefully you'll view this draft on Monday night.
Yeah, she's been a star since college,
she's
obviously.
Big time.
Kathy, thank you so much for the
time. Thank you, Kathy.
Congrats on all the success. We look forward to Monday night's WNBA draft right here on ESPN 730. I have a feeling there will be record-breaking ratings again on this one.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5X miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Oh, it's that time of week. Fire it up, baby. Christopher Mad Dog Russo, of course, has something that has him fired up. Chris.
We have a lot to do. I don't have a third.
Yours.
I don't have. I got
you don't
a
need
light
it.
Audience
you don't need
today.
It. You don't Jeez. Need it.
You have us.
Well, that's important.
You don't need
but where is Kimberly, JJ, Marcus? I need. Anyway, here we go. All right. We got three good ones today. I don't know about you, and I understand they wanted Caitlin Clark to get to the championship game, but boy, oh boy, did that call drive me crazy on Friday night. That offensive screen foul call.
Yes.
You cannot call this with the season on the line.
You're right.
It's 9 seconds to go in the game. It's 70-69. This is a game seven of an NBA. And you call that offensive foul there and end the game? Oh, my God. I understand I live in Connecticut, and I had to hear all the Connecticut fans moan and groan. Molly not happy about it either. I understand that. Maybe a little biased, but that call cannot be made. I was trying to rack my brain.
Yeah.
I can't remember ever, and I've been watching the NBA Finals since 1968. I can't remember ever where I saw an elimination game end on a possession because an official caught an illegal block with a team down by one with the ball. That call was awful. A terrible, ridiculous call. You don't end seasons on plays like that. That's number one. And speaking of UConn, if anybody out there at Kentucky, and this is a double whammy, if anybody out there at Kentucky, there's Ariama behind me, thinks that Danny Hurley is going to, after he's won back-to-back championships, is going to go to Lexington to deal with that mob that's the next, that Kentucky fan base, when he's already won two championships, think again. Kentucky's got no chance to get Hurley. But back to UConn women. They got royally, I'm not going to use the word, burned on Friday night. That's number one.
Let's just hug it out. Let's hug it. Oh, whoa, you're the best. You're the best.
Part two about him not going to Kentucky. You're absolutely right. Danny Hurley.
He doesn't want to go to Kentucky.
No, please, stay right in stores.
Kentucky.
That's number one. Kentucky isn't what they used to be. That's number one. Number two, and most importantly, you're right. In terms of, I was disgusted with the call. It shouldn't have happened. You don't make that call. But was it the wrong call? See, we can't have it both ways. You can't sit up there and say it's the right call, but it shouldn't have been made.
Hold up.
Yes.
If that was the NBA Finals,
I would have lost it.
You were there with Malika and the whole crew, and you would have
lost it. I didn't like the call against you. I didn't like the
same for a women's college game.
I didn't like the call against UConn at all.
Yeah.
I hated it, but I didn't think it was wrong. I would just say, you don't make that call with 3.9 seconds left. That's the only argument I got.
You can make it. Swallow your whistle. Yeah. That's number one.
All right.
And Hurley's not going to Lexington.
Absolutely.
So
why would he? He's the best coach of college basketball, and that's a dominant team. Stay there. Right. Kentucky. Who needs Kentucky? Number two. This one really bothered me. I screamed about it on radio. This could take a couple seconds to explain. Steve's got plenty of time. Did you see the Ohtani home run for the Dodgers, his first homer in the L.A. uniform? It happened last Wednesday. We're going to show it to you here. This is against San Francisco. He hit the ball. Show it, Sam! He hit the ball in right field, right center field pavilion. All right? The people who caught the ball It was a couple.
Okay.
They were 27, 29 years of age. They catch the ball, and then 11 Al Capone goons from the Dodger marketing department marches out to right field. They bring the lady outside of the pavilion with her fiancé and separate them so she can't talk to her fiancé about the ball, which, by the way, is worth $100,000 in memorabilia. But Ohtani wanted the ball. So the marketing guys tell the woman, 27 years of age, second language, be smart. We're not going to authenticate the ball if you keep it. So give us the ball. We'll give you a couple of hats and a bat. Give us the ball. So what is she? Can't talk to her boyfriend. He's 20 yards away. Who would say, honey, what are you nuts? This ball. The judge ball went for $1.25 million. So she gives him the ball. They give them a couple of memorabilia thing, and they don't even bring her with a chaperone at the end of the game to go to the parking lot, and she gets mobbed. And then Ohtani, after the game, strongly indicates, go ask the Japanese media, that he took pictures with the fan in exchange for the ball. Ohtani didn't take any pictures. What do you think, he marched out the right field with his little entourage to take photographs with some poor woman who caught the ball at 27 years of age, who had a chance to make $100,000? And so the LA Times wrote about this. The Dodgers did not talk about this. They had no comment. The LA Times, Bill Plaske, give him credit, last Friday wrote about this, and then the Dodgers said, well, we'll show her the Dodger experience. She's invited again. Nonsense! You want the ball back? Have somebody from the Dodgers write a $50,000 check, and Ohtani's worth billions. Let him write a $50,000 check. What the Dodgers did, and Ohtani, to that poor couple, is an absolute unmitigated disgrace. Number two.
Okay, can I ask a couple questions?
Yes.
First of all,
can you
even do that? Like, separate the two of them?
That's
20 yards apart.
Is that even, like, legal? Why? They didn't break them off.
What is she supposed to do? Call the cops?
That's my first question. Then my second question is, why did Ohtani lie and say that he took pictures if he never took pictures?
He strongly indicated in his press conference that night that he met the fan. He did not meet any fan.
And then why did he want that particular ball?
Because it's his first ever ball, his home run as a Dodger.
Okay. Now let me say this. You're 1,000% right, but it's even worse than you articulated. Here's why. On one hand, again, the ball is worth about $100,000. You could have given the couple some money, you understand, rather than being cheap. Secondly, the separation, that's a legal matter as far as I'm concerned. So what you do is separate them. That's number two. Number three, since he gave indications that, dare I say, were erroneous or downright false, as you just articulated, weeks removed from an investigation.
Which he claimed.
Where he had claims of innocence.
God, also he blamed the guy fat.
And he blamed the guy. So what I'm saying is that, excuse me, with anybody else, we would have connected dots and we would have said, wait a minute, what kind of behavior is this? You're lying about something this innocuous. That's an investigation in the betting on baseball. That's what we're talking about. That's what we were talking about weeks ago. In other words, of course, they were saying it had nothing to do with baseball, but it was a question because people weren't necessarily believing it. So just weeks removed from that, to lie about something this innocuous.
Yeah.
If you're willing to lie about that, how honest and what level of veracity Do you entertain 100%. On something so far more serious?
And I'm just wondering. Say one last thing, what he could have done. Say he really wanted it. His first home run as a Dodger.
Right, $100,000 check.
But that's what I'm saying. You keep it and then you do something for the couple. You do some type of gesture, whatever
something.
It is. Monetary, give them, you know, front row seats, whatever.
That kind of, yeah. And give Plaske the LA Times credit.
Well, he's one of the best columnists in America.
Give him credit because he's the one who made this. And then the Athletic jumped on it.
The voice of LA, him and Jim Hill.
Yep.
Good job. Okay. That really bothered me. That's a rotten thing to do to some poor couple there with the sweat. That really.
Separating them?
I mean, am I right? So you guys agree?
That's right.
All right, let's have some fun now with number three.
Okay.
I hoped it rained like the Dickens a couple days ago on Monday. The last thing I wanted to get wrapped up in is that stupid sky with that dopey moon and that dopey sun. I got the dopey glasses, you know. I put the glasses on and looked up. What a disaster. And how about the poor fan? Think about this for a second. We had Americans, today's me. And oh, look at you, what a joke. Americans who traveled around the country, Buffalo, Cleveland, and spent $1,200 when hotels are gouging them for rooms to see the moon over the sun for a couple of minutes? You gotta have something more important to do that. You have to go outside, get a glasses, look at it for 10 seconds, and come back inside.
Isn't that you?
That's me. But I was in my garage. I went outside, I put the dopey glasses on, I threw them away.
And what did you
think?
That's
the end of it.
Will you move?
But it was interesting for a second. I wouldn't travel to Buffalo, Cleveland, Fort Worth, Texas. It starts at Meg. Who cares? They move back baseball games to accommodate this. How dare they move back opening day? They move back the Guardians game to show the stupid sun and the moon. Nobody in America cares. Number three.
Well, first of all, you got to have those glasses on to protect your eyes. So it's perfectly understandable why they would delay some baseball games, because you don't want to look up to the sky because they'd be damaging. That's number one.
This looks
number
like two. A model number pose
two.
Right
number,
now.
Number
I
two. Number
shot.
Two. Number two. I was outside of my studio.
Oh.
All right, and I went outside of my studio
was this
to look
GQ
at
GQ magazine.
No, it wasn't. But that's what I was wearing the day I did my show, which was Monday. So I'm looking at this, and my daughters insisted that I watch. So Daddy went out there to watch because my daughters told me to, and it was a nice experience.
But how about the people who actually spent the fortune to travel 300 miles to watch something like this.
They're addicted to nature.
But it's stupid. Oh, it's stupid. Come on. Don't do that.
They're addicted to nature.
Donate the money to a charity.
What money? Here you.
Well, I mean, $1,200 to stay in a hotel to see the moon over the sun for 20 minutes?
Let's
clearly they could afford it.
You might see gummies and bat with Fat Rob on your couch. People might think that's stupid. Some people want to look at celestial things.
And by the way, they spent their money on what they wanted to spend it on. You spent your money to lose it.
Yeah.
When you're gambling all the time.
Yeah, that is ridiculous.
Which is more ridiculous.
I did well this weekend.
Well, hopefully you better bet on ESPN.
Those are three good ones.
This is your best in a long time.
Three good ones.
Really brought your A game. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit directtv.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day. Earlier this morning, Arkansas made it official by announcing that former Kentucky head coach John Calipari will become the next head coach of their men's basketball program. This off the heels of Calipari addressing leaving Kentucky after 15 years, saying the program, quote, probably needs to hear another voice. Doggy, I'm hearing this news has you wanting to give us an A-list.
I got your good A-list here. These are the most attractive college basketball jobs. I made some calls on this.
Okay.
And I did some research with NIL, so this is not just some haphazard picking tight ends and leaving Brady and Gronkowski out, which he's never forgiven me for, with the combination.
Pause. This is an A-list.
A-list.
This is the same board I use.
So it better be good.
There is a standard. You better step up and be good.
Fluid.
It ain't no fluid here.
All right.
Handle your business.
Number five, Gonzaga. You're going to say, why Gonzaga? Hey, Mark Few could have taken a Kentucky job, didn't take it a few years ago. They have a great program. They win easy in that conference, so they're in the NCAA every single year. They got a good nil thing. They've got a good arena. It's the only game in town. That's a layup. Gonzaga is a much better job than most people think. Few's been there a long time. They were good before Few with Dan Munson. That's I know that's a strange one, but it's accurate.
Go ahead.
Five. Don't give me that. Go ahead. Number four, Texas. They have a great facility. They got all the great players. They have money like you wouldn't believe. They can piggyback off the football team. It's a great area to live. Austin, Texas. That's next his town. Miami and L.A. He'll go to Austin next time. It's a great. This is
I
a great job.
I was in Austin 2 months ago.
Great time. And plus, they haven't won yet. So if you ever win in Austin, you're a god. I love that job. I'd go there in a minute. Texas is number four. Number three, I put it a little higher. If it wasn't for stores, it's UConn. They've won six championships in 26 years. Nobody's done that in 50 years. They won with three different coaches. Calhoun built it. What a job. Kevin Ollie won one. And how good is Hurley? I mean, he won back-to-back, and every game he won by double digits. They draw 10,000 every game. It's the only game in town. The Big East is a little dangerous because they don't have the good football, so I'd be a little worried about that. That is a tremendous – if they called you right now to take the UConn job, you know you got a good chance to win. That's a no-brainer. That is number three. Number two is Kansas. I mean, you have to put the place where basketball is discovered. I know it's Springfield, but Kansas right there with Fog Allen. Self's been there a long time. Wilt Chamberlain played there. Plus, the arena is great. Plus, it's Kansas. Kansas basketball has got a cachet to it. God, I like that job. I've never been to that arena. I hear it's wonderful. It's one of the top two or three in the country. Kansas is the second best job. And then number one is an easy one. It's North Carolina. If you could go anywhere in the country, you got to go to North Carolina. It's a great arena. Dean Smith, Frank McGuire, Jordan, Billy Cunningham, Larry Brown, Bob McAdoo, Bobby Jones, Kenny Smith. I go Brad Daugherty, Worthy. That's basketball. North Carolina, the Dean Dome. It's an easy. I leave two out. I'm leaving Kentucky out because I don't want to go to Kentucky and then I lose a game in December and I got my little 8-year-old coming home crying because the kids at school give him a hard time. How dare your father lose a game to LSU? That's out of line. Kentucky thinks they're bigger than they really are. I wouldn't go near Kentucky. And I'm not putting Duke in here either. Because until Duke shows that they can win without Krzyzewski, who, listen, he is Duke. Shire's done a decent job, but they got to win some championships without Coach K. When they do that, plus they're the second team in the state, they're way behind North Carolina, so I'm not putting Duke here there either. I love the list. Gonzaga, Texas, UConn, Kansas, North Carolina. Now, he is the guy in the, Alec Guinness here, the man in a white suit, is going to try to go out there and make fun of me and say I'm nuts. That's a good line, Alec. That is a great freaking list by yours truly on this Wednesday.
Could you get a little closer to the camera?
I mean, I
can see your nostril hairs.
Don't say that. Go ahead, hotshot. Let me hear.
This list is horrible.
Oh, my God.
Horrible.
How is it horrible?
Horrible.
Where?
Stay with me. Stay with me right now, okay? Gonzaga, get him out of there. They ain't even on this list, right? Pacific Northwest. Don't get me started with all of that. I mean, I don't know if people are awake watching them. This is not an attractive job. Mark Few is an exceptional coach. It's an exceptional program. But my Lord, please. I mean, they're in oblivion for crying out loud. They might as well be in Vancouver. Get them out of there, okay? You want to give me Texas, Austin, Texas, that program down there? I like the idea of them being in this list. UConn, I get where you're coming from. My issue with UConn is that because of the six titles, because of what they've established over the last 25 years, it might not be attractive to somebody to walk into those shoes because those are big shoes to fill.
You
got to take in that. You got to take
one.
That into that question, right? So UConn, if they got to at least drop, they probably be out. Gonzaga's definitely out. Kansas, I'm good with you. UNC, I'm good with you. You got to put Duke in here. Let me tell you why. Because of North Carolina, 8 miles away. They go to the same parties. They hang out with the same peeps. The audience is competing. It's combative. It's the best basketball environment in America.
Because he went to college
basketball.
There.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, that's
listen,
right. He went to
Winston. Stay with me. Always distracted from the focus. The focus. UNC and Duke. Who gets to compete with somebody 8 miles apart where you're literally bumping heads from the student bodies to the athletes? It's all about the environment. Here's what I will add. Are you ready for this? Michigan. Fab Five never won the championship for you, but they still elevated the game, the profile. When Juwan Howard was there a few years ago and took them deep into the NCAA tournament, look at how the basketball world was galvanized. It started reminding you about them. Okay, I gotta look.
That's the first good point.
So I would have.
I would have
UNC and Duke. You can leave Kansas in there. You can leave Texas in there.
All right.
Okay. Michigan's got to go in there. Duke's got to go in there. I would take Gonzaga and UConn out.
How do you take UConn out?
Because I'm just saying. Those are Danny Hurley. There's nowhere to go but down. The greatest coach in the game, the greatest program in the game. There's nowhere to go but down because they've been so great. If you take that job, they'll be like the folks you said in Lexington, Kentucky. They're crying because, oh my God, they got to the Elite Eight but not the Final Four. Oh my God, they won 30 games instead of 32 games.
Miles back and
that right there.
The same party.
That's what I'm talking about.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/firsttake. That's amazon.com/firsttake to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Oh, it's the Masters Par 3 contest from Augusta today at 3 Eastern, noon Pacific on ESPN. And that coverage begins at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on ESPN+. And you can see Christopher Mad Dog Russo there live as a fan tomorrow.
Friday.
All right, the solar eclipse was Monday. Mad Dog loved it. But the sun may still be out in Phoenix as the Clippers, without Kawhi Leonard, build a 31-point lead in the first quarter, holding the Suns to just 10 points in their 105-92 win. Devin Booker had a rough showing, going 1-for-11 from the field for only 12 points. Stephen A., how bad was this performance?
It was a pathetic, atrocious, embarrassing performance. Yeah, everybody in Phoenix should have been given their money back. These guys never showed up from opening tap. I think they were down as much as 30-4 or something like that. Just embarrassing. And it's not, it might be an aberration in terms of how the game started, but what's not an aberration is the fact that Phoenix hasn't been what we expected them to be all season long. It's just not good. And it wouldn't surprise me at all if they went home in the first round. They need to get it together quick.
I think they're going to get knocked out. I'm with you. 35-4. So they were down 31 points in the first few minutes of the game. Right. This is this franchise has had a history of doing this. 2 years ago, remember the Mavericks in game seven. And don't forget, last year, Denver in game six, they killed them. Yes. They don't seem to show up in these. That's a huge game last night to the Clippers. Yeah. Awful, awful defeat. We talked about it earlier. I think the Lakers and Golden State might make the main body, and Sacramento and Phoenix may not, as far as the play and as far as the postseason is concerned.
Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, and Bradley Beal, if they go out like that, I think you won't see any more big threes being assembled in the future, because this is just bad.
Could happen.
Absolutely.
Right.
Hey,
good job today, Doggy.
Epic list.
Good job.
Yeah, you did. I like the bogey with the white.
They better put that on YouTube.
Oh, you are? All right.